This is the Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Boyd, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
Well, listeners, today we have a joy of talking with Ferdy van den Berg. He is Dutch, and when we invite a Dutch, it's of course very, very good. Welcome, Ferdy.
Wow, thank you. I have high expectations.
Bill, good to see you. We're looking forward to this time together.
Great to see you too, Gaia and Ferdy. I'm really looking forward to this podcast. It's a subject that I'm very interested in.
Yes, because the listeners don't know the subject yet, but we will talk about a book that Ferdy has been writing with his colleague about gold in hands, about the worth or the value of people in our organizations, in our businesses. But Ferdy, tell us a little bit more. Who are you besides being a fellow Dutchman?
Yes. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me. It's really great to have this opportunity to share. My name is Ferdy. I'm residing in Gouda in the Netherlands together with my wonderful wife, Tatjana, who I got to meet in New York when I was working there. She's from Paris. So from Paris to Gouda was a big step, but we are loving it. We have three wonderful children in the ages 13 to 18. I'm a co-initiator of a company called Gold in Hands, in Dutch Goud in Handen. And it's really based on, it actually started, we started realizing why we had that name, that actually the gold within the hands of an entrepreneur are the people that he gets to work with and gets to fulfill his vision with. And we've created actually in the last 7 years a philosophy and a mindset and a way of working with your people. How do you get the best out of your leadership? How do you get the best out of the people they lead, and what role has vision in that?
Well, we like to learn a bit more. Also, you know, can you give some keys to the listeners on how can they draw this out and how can they do this? But Bill, I kind of sense that this is a subject what's close to your heart. Is it?
It is, Gaia. We've had a number of instances, been invited by the Lord to invite people who are off the street into a business, and they come in with all of their, you could say all of their baggage in a sense, all of their expectations, the rejection from society, the woundedness in their own heart. And we're wondering what is the value for the company? What's going on here? But then if you step back and realize that if the Lord considers the company that we're stewarding His, it makes perfect sense that when He sees the people of the community and He loves every person in the community and He knows their woundedness and their hurts, it's very reasonable for Him to say, I think I want to bring this person into my company so I can minister to him there. And then if we're open to the fact that that person is really valuable to the Lord, even though we haven't seen yet how they're valuable to the business, we will begin to search out what is it that the Lord is doing in their lives through this institution we call a company that we theoretically are stewarding with the Lord.
Yeah, so I'm curious. People who have been listening and following this podcast, they heard of these stories in China and beggars from the street, and you know how some of them, you know, like Lina, the girl you took in, is now leading your company. But Ferdy, how does it look like in a Western context? And do we have broken people here? And how do you draw that out? I mean, some people are kind of hard to work with, aren't they?
Yeah. I love listening to your stories, Bill, because I remember at the BAM conference where you were sharing some of these testimonies. And I also realized that some people will hear that and they will say, wow, so my whole company must be a ministry almost. Like we're only caring, we're only looking for people that really have a baggage or that really have. And I really believe that there's certain, not levels, but every, like, for God knows exactly what is in your heart, even as the owner. So he, for some people, this realizing the gold within your people is actually at every level. Whether you headhunt for the highest potentials, or you are open for anybody that has two hands and a mind to work, it doesn't matter, really. So let's put that out of, to me, yeah, let's put that out of the way. It's not only when you go for the very lost and the very hurt that this can work. This works for all your employees, really. Because I believe what we saw in our practice is an entrepreneur just has a vision, and he, or he has a target that he wants to reach. But how do you not try to think, how can I optimize the work processes? But how, when you start looking at, okay, who do I have in my team, and what is the hidden value that they, that really is in them? How do I learn to look, and how do I learn to wait in the right moment for that actually to come to bloom, so to speak?
So do you have a key how to do that? Or is that each context different? But, you know, you've written a book about it. So
yeah, we've written a book about it. So there's... Yeah, this is so interesting, Gea, because I think we are even exploring it as we are allowed to build our own company. So even this book for us, so the book's title is The Gold Within. Even as we were starting to write the book, it was as if God was even opening our eyes, like, but this is really what is needed for a leader. And then right away it shifts to kingdom principles. And kingdom principles Kingdom principle is, for example, time. We think that everything needs to happen in the set time that we have and in the processes. But as we know, for God, time is not a matter. So for him, he thinks much more in seasons, and not even in the seasons like we think them, like spring, summer, autumn, but just it is the right season when the right things have happened, so the next season can happen. So, but one of the biggest keys, I think, as a leader is, are you willing to take your time with the people that are entrusted to you? And that doesn't mean that it will always take long, because that is also the amazing part of the kingdom. Actually, sometimes we also know the opposite, where you think something needs to take long. In God's kingdom, it's again the opposite. So where you think, oh, this is going to be a long process with one person, God is, if you give it the time, God can just say all of a sudden, oh no, he's ready. And then he's ready. And I constantly refer to God, because that is also my relationship with him. But I think it's a principle. So even if you were not referring to God as your father, but you were following the principles that God has created his creation with, it also is true. Not saying that I would love for people to really realize that it is God that put those principles in his creation, but whether you are a Christian or not, these principles work, I believe. That's at least my experience.
But Ferdy, you said when we started writing this book, we started realizing. So what were some of your aha moments like, oh, I miss something here, or I see it's a bit clearer now. This is a learning moment. While Ferdy is thinking, Bill, what do you hear when Ferdy is sharing this?
Well, I first wanted to say how much I appreciate him pointing out that this principle of looking for gold goes from top to bottom. Everybody is fair game and being discovered that what God has put into them. So that's also a point really important to make, I think. Otherwise, people feel like, well, I'm not down and out. I may not have that much gold. But everybody, including me, I'm trying to think back, well, when did I discover that God saw something in me that I had no idea was there?
And it was, you know. I would like to hear that story. You have more, probably.
Well, one of the first early stories was when we were manufacturing stained glass lampshades, and we were taught to do it a certain way that every company in the world, I think, made them at that way. And it was a little bit awkward in a manufacturing process. And he just showed me within one afternoon, it really took about 2 minutes to get the idea. And then when I executed the idea, it increased our output 20%. and improve the quality. And all of a sudden, I realized I was a designer of a manufacturing system. I had been arguing with the Lord because earlier I designed a product line and we sold out of the product line. Actually, sold a year's capacity in about 6 weeks. And I'm thinking, oh, now we're really stuck because it's going to be very difficult to meet our orders. And I'm just a product designer. So we're missing that skill set. We're missing that gold almost. And the Lord said, hey, why don't you take your design ability and design a new way to produce these things? And I thought, you can do that. I had no idea you could do that. And so within a short time, we were increasing our output. Like one team made 14 of these products a day, and we got it up to 88 products a day, just within a short amount of time by partnering with the Lord and applying what now is a team effort, the Lord and me, to solving a technical problem within the company. And so if it can happen with me at the top and can happen with people at the bottom, it could happen with everybody in between as well.
Well, I think you wrote the book Gold in Hands, for leaders of organizations, businesses. But I'm reminded of God seeing us. You know, he wasn't it Hagar, in the desert where she said, hey, God is El Roy. He sees me. And I actually had that happen a few times in my life. For example, I was invited by Ray Buckey to study with the university, Buckey Graduate University. I think he saw the gold in me. I got a scholarship, as a European, while, there were lots of Asians and Africans. But I think, so we all have these stories that I think that someone sees something in us. And I think God is using that. Or like you said, Bill, probably no one in your factory says, oh, Bill, I see a skill of designing in you. So God had to speak himself to you. But Ferdy, so what were some of your, coming back to my question, writing the book in kind of, what you're saying is people first before our program wrongly?
Maybe not. We're also still discovering, I think, with people reaching the destination and not just reaching the destination and the people need to do the work, but you do it together. And some people will be on your train for long. Some people will just hop on one stop and hop off the next. That's okay. It's not, they don't desert you, but the vision is still there. But going back to your question, one of those moments, because I think there were many moments, but one of those moments was we were doing a program in a very big supermarket team. So for reference, a supermarket in the Netherlands are open long hours. Often they open at 8 o'clock in the morning. They run till 10 o'clock at night. Many supermarkets have more than 120 employees that come in and that come out. And you might not always realize that, but somehow for them, that's a community where they come every day or a few times a week. We always say to entrepreneurs, the difference in knowing why you do what you do is the complete difference in for your team in, for example, in the supermarket, in just filling the shelves or just baking off the bread, which is very brain dead, very solo work, or actually realizing that, for example, a supermarket has a very big community role, and it is there, that supermarket is there also for being part of people's lives. So once we help entrepreneurs see that and we help them to translate that into what does that mean, what is the vision then of our shop or our organization, all of a sudden the work changes for the employees. And an example for this is the following, to answer your question. We were with this team. They came from a long way. They've had been really done wrong in the past, but they had a new entrepreneur running this store. They created a vision in which part of the vision, I don't know the exact words anymore, but part of the vision is we see each other. And that had not happened in the years before. They were just working, but we see each other. And I remember we came in one time in the meeting and we felt we should do it a little bit different. We should actually not do our standard program, but we should allow everybody to just take 30 minutes and to make the vision come alive in whatever way you want to do it. And they went into the store. Some people took the how do you call it, the table football, and they started playing with the customers. But some of them found a customer and they just took them shopping. And by the end of the shopping, they paid for the customer. But there was this one particular one that I found so touching, that there was a group. One of the managers was in there and they created a fruit basket and they walked to the service desk. And there was a lady that had been in the Netherlands, I think, for 3 years, could speak Dutch, but maybe not so good yet. And they looked at her and they gave the fruit basket to her. And the lady was surprised. And she literally said, I thought that I had to wrap it for a customer. But then the manager said, no, this is for you, because we just want to appreciate you for what you are doing with us, for us. And the lady started crying, literally, in the middle of that store. And saying, man, I didn't know you guys actually saw the work that I'm doing here. And those are the moments, I think, once we start connecting to the person in whatever capacity, whatever way, then we start actually for those people also to be able to be seen and to also feel appreciated in a bigger sense. So to me, that is one of those moments. Then my wife is a wonderful picture thinker. So she came up with the concept of the goldsmith. That actually, in a way, you are a goldsmith. And in the roughest form, a goldsmith is just being given edge, like a piece of stone. And he is able to somehow see inside of that stone what is already in there. What is that potential in that stone? And it is his job, and that's what the whole book helps you to realize, that it is his job to refine that gold and to bring that gold out. And so... I hope that answered your question.
Well, I will go with another idea to the local supermarket, you know.
Yeah.
Because indeed, it is a place, you know, where it's part of people's lives. And
so much.
Maybe I can recommend you to my local supermarket, Ferdy.
I'm happy to. On a business perspective, it's the big difference if that supermarket is being owned by a big branch and it is just one of their local entities, or if it's owned by a owner that actually still is also able to care for his people. So it's not that your supermarket mm-hmm. is not able to be helped, but it's much more complicated if it becomes corporate, because then you get those, this is just the manager and he's put there and he's just, so he has a lot less time to build relationships with people. So it's not impossible.
So Bill, what are you hearing and what are you reminded of when you hear Ferdy talk?
It feels like all of us are in the context of being on a treasure hunt. And wherever we see people, we see the potential for gold to be revealed. I also was thinking of that movie, Avatar, where in the beginning, one of the taglines was, see you. And what they meant is, I really see you. I don't just see your outside, but I see inside as well. And I'm thinking it's a very attractive thing to hear when somebody says that to you. Although I don't think I've ever heard that, but it also feels correct when you want to see the people, you want to see all that actually is there. So that's where my mind is going.
And Ferdy, but what are the challenges? What do you see? You know, you work with a lot of businesses. What are some of the challenges that you see and what hinders us in? Because, I mean, I just picture, you know, I'm thinking of the story you just told. When there is joy in a place like that where you work, I can imagine that it attracts more clients so that it's good for business.
Yeah, it holds.
Or am I too naive? You are in the middle of, you know, working with businesses in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
What do you see?
I see definitely also life. So it's a tug of war. It doesn't mean necessarily if you start applying this, then all of a sudden every day somebody is being appreciated and given a fruit basket and there's joy. Because at the end of the day, it's also work, right? Like it is ministry, but it is also work. It's not as, and I like, this is also a discovery, I think. It is, as an entrepreneur, you also do have the mandate to generate money and income and business. And so there is also a fine line between, wait a minute, this person is disproportionately maybe asking a lot of attention. So you have to be sort of fine-tuned somehow, because at the end of the day, you still need to also generate money. So it also asks something from the people that you are working with. They also need to be willing, and that's why I think a strong vision in a business is important, because they also need to be willing to tip into the work to actually see this vision come to realization. And that is a fine line sometimes. I heard somebody, a good friend of mine, once say it's like two legs, like a good business has two legs. There's a social leg, but there's also a profitable leg. And they, for them to move forward, they need to be able to switch between the two. So sometimes as an entrepreneur, you're gonna have to also make difficult choices. So it's not easy. That's why we, I guess, also part of the book realize, yeah, it's not easy.
Well, I heard you say, you don't say it that much in the podcast, I think, but I know that you believe that, Bill, that, you know, talking about BAM and business's mission, that the business should first run well. The business should be healthy financially before taking too much attention, giving too much attention to the ministry. But you don't say that a whole lot in, you know, like Freddy says, you know, Bill is taking everybody in the company. And so can you, what do you hear and what do comes to mind when you hear Freddy say about these two legs and about, you know, when did you fire someone? What happened?
I do remember when I hired a deaf person, and I felt pretty good about this, like we're kind of looking in the right direction. And after 6 weeks, we had to let him go because we didn't have enough business to keep him busy. And I thought, whoa, that was a bad experience. What was that about? And I realized, oh, I didn't have enough business strength to actually keep him employed. And so I'm a huge believer you can see ministry happen in the business, but I am not a believer that you can start them simultaneously. I think you have to focus on the business to get the cash flow. It's like the blood in your body. You've got to have enough of it to stay alive. Otherwise, all of the best intentions will just be very, very short-lived and be harmful to the longevity of the company. You cannot turn a blind eye to that.
Because I think you might see that too, Ferdy, you know, kind of idealistic people. Or do you see more the other side where it's businesses kind of being taken over and it needs to be more effective and more, what you probably broad clientele, I guess.
Yeah. So our clientele is really in the middle. Unfortunately, we are probably too expensive for the people for the people that believe that everything is ministry, we're probably too expensive. But for the ones that are too money focused, we're also too expensive, because I think this is the bottom line. If you know you're really a social enterprise, if you realize this concept, and I love what you say, Bill, it has to be profit first somehow, but that doesn't mean that it has to be profit first over the backs of people, but it needs to be with the people. You have to put that realization in there that profit is so important. So I have a client that is a buy and build company, and only if the owners and the management truly believe that it is also with people, this can work, because otherwise they quickly will assassinate any source of money that goes towards the people, which makes sense, because that is not money that you give to your shareholders. That's why it's also quite a complicated system, the system of shareholders, of investment companies, but not impossible. Because I remember, if I can share a personal story, I remember the first time investment company asked for our services. That was not Goud in Handen, but that was another company that I was able to run. I really had to go to God. And I really had to say, can I work for an investment company? That sounds quite not human focused. And then God brought me to the first investor, I guess, if you could say, and that was Joseph. So God really brought me to the story of Joseph, when Joseph was next to Pharaoh and there was a big famine in the country, the first time the people came with money and they were able to get food and grain. But then the second year, Joseph said, well, you know what? I take your land. So you sell me your land and I will give you the wheat and whatever you need, the grain to grow. But you're going to give me 20% or however much percent. I don't have that very clear. And I thought, wow, that was the first investment company, really, if you think about it. And I thought, so, okay, then I can take this client, I guess, because for me, that was really important to somehow be okay there. But it is not natural what Joseph did, because still Joseph really also took good care of those people because he gave them plenty, but he also took plenty.
Fanny, we are already, you know, towards the end of the podcast. I know, you know, in our pre-talk, you are very involved also in Uganda together with your family, with the kids there. But can you share maybe a practical key to our listeners? Like, what would you say, this, remember this one? You can forget the rest. Well, they don't have to. But what is something that you say, hey, this I want to pass on in you know, writing this book, in working already many years? What would you give as advice?
The first thing that comes to my mind is take 2 minutes and just ask yourself that question. When was it in my life that somebody actually saw me? And what has been the result of that moment? I mean, you shared the story, Gea, of somebody actually giving you a scholarship. There's many employers that have employees that are, for the first time ever, working, especially also in that supermarket branch. Eh? There's a lot of young kids that come to work. That's their first work experience. Now, first think about what that did to you when somebody spoke life into you somehow, or potential into you. And then realize that you have that key in your hands to actually do the same to somebody else. And just if you did that, if you only did it once a month, you would change the world. But as easy as it sounds, most of the time we don't really deliberately take time to appreciate a potential that you see in somebody even before they see it maybe themselves.
That's powerful. Thank you. So listeners, do take that time. Really good. Golden key. Thank you. You're a good goldsmith. Still coming to the end. What would you want to share with the listeners? What should they remember?
I think just basically what Faraday is saying is really key. I have a friend who has a bunch of college students over to his home on Thursday nights, and he's given everybody a copy of the book, The 10-Second Rule. And The 10-Second Rule basically says this, that a lot of times the Lord will ask you to speak to someone, to really see them and speak to them. And so you need to keep your antenna up and keep listening. And so the first half hour of these evenings together, they only talk about what they did that week. How did they see? How did they discover someone that week that the Lord wanted them to be a blessing to speak to them? And it's just exactly that. We live in a very target-rich environment. People we're surrounded by people. And if we stay sensitive to the Lord, he may just nudge us in the direction to go reveal something in their life and be a blessing to them.
Well, thank you. And Ferdy, this book will be released in the Netherlands, in Dutch.
Yep. Yes.
When do you already have a date?
Yep. June 12th. We are honored to host a symposium in the Netherlands in the AFAS Theater in Leusden. It's a full program with actually some people also out of the business world. And funny enough, there's a very strong Christian, one of our main speakers from a company everybody in the Netherlands knows, AFAS Software. He's a devoted Christian, but also a very successful businessman. There's a lady that comes to talk about the generations. We didn't even touch that subject, but there's so much power there. And we get to launch our book. So we're super excited about it.
And do you have plans to translate it into English?
Well, the funny thing is it was co-written in English because my wife was really a part of that and she writes in English. Then we translated it into Dutch and then we tweaked it everywhere. So now it's going to take us a little bit of time to translate it back to English, but I would love to, for sure.
Well, we will put a note in the description of this podcast,
yes,
and where to find you and get information. Thank you. It was a joy to have this talk with you. And it's a subject very much on my heart, you know, of I know how it is that people saw beyond, you know, what they saw from the outside, you know. Well, maybe that's more a female thing. You know, I was seen as the mother of, the wife of, for many years. And then, you know, then which is rich too, which is which identities. But, you know, to have someone see beyond that, that has drawn out a lot of gold, which I am sharing. And yeah, I'm attentive of seeing people. And so I love this subject. Thank you for being with us, Ferdi.
Yes, thank you.
I like to close in prayer. So I will do it this time, Bill. You can smile and nod. And you too, Ferdi. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are the one who sees us. First of all, like we heard Bill share, that you saw Bill's capabilities and his creativity. But Lord, thank you that you also work, partner with us, and use our eyes to see the people you want to be seen. So Lord, we want to be available and make us aware and experience the joy also to see and bring the gold to life and in people's lives. So thank you for this time together and bless our listeners, each one in receiving your, seeing themselves in your eyes and giving it to others. Amen.